The military was building a road right through the middle of a swamp. The big problem was that this swamp was well over the heads of most of the workers. So finally, the man who was leading this expedition of workers decided that it was an impossible task to build this road through the middle of this swamp in the conditions that they were facing. So he went to his commanding officer and told him, "There is no way we can finish this road in the amount of time that you want with what we have, because there's no way that our workers can be in this kind of a situation without some of them getting hurt or worse." And so the commanding officer said, "That's nonsense. It can be done. Whatever you need to attack that swamp, you send in a requisition order for it, and I'll see that you get it." A few days later, there was a requisition order on the desk of the commanding officer. It said, "Wanted, 15 men, 18 feet tall." Good luck with that one. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight is the kind of men that God needs. Turn, if you would, to the book of 1 Chronicles 9 and verse 13. 1 Chronicles 9 and verse 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you have kind of a running list of the genealogies of Israel. But I want you to look as you go down about verse 13. After you get this list, this genealogy, look at verse 13. "And their brethren, the heads of their fathers' houses, 1,760. Notice, they were very able men for the work of the service of the house of God." What the church needs today is men who are able to serve in the house of the Lord. That's what's needed. It's kind of unfortunate that today, you know, even a moment ago in our officers' meeting, we were talking about the very thing that it seems like churches as a whole is having problems with getting not only the numbers, but even people interested in doing the work of the church. And of the number that has really been affected is men. I want to look at a survey. This comes from churchformen.com. Church attendance is typically 61% female and 39% male. Now, that almost itself is kind of amazing, but it's pretty accurate. I mean, look around you. I had a man tell me one time that religion was for women and children. I personally took offense to that. And I asked him, I said, "Well, what about me? Which am I?" He just smiled. He didn't answer it. I mean, I kind of regret, kind of resented the fact that not being considered as a man just because of my religious conviction. But unfortunately, that's the way a lot of men feel in our society today. Midweek attendance is 70 to 80% female. Now, if my Mesquite High School math is correct, that only leaves about 20 to 30% of those in attendance being male. Now, notice this next one. This is what bothers me. Many of the men that were surveyed admitted to the fact that the only reason why they even are attending services was simply to appease their parents or their mates. It wasn't because they felt a need on their part. That's sad. But unfortunately, that's society in which we live. Well, the church needs able men, like we talked about here in 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 13. But also men like Joshua. Men with a backbone. We're living in a time where it seems like men have been dissected of the backbones. Have you noticed that? Maybe I'm dreaming this. I don't know. But it seems like to me men won't stand up for much of anything. Women seem to have bigger backbones than the men upon certain occasions. Especially when it comes to the work of the church. We need men with backbone. I know some of you may be thinking, well, you know, Jackson, this is kind of a sermon for Sunday morning. Well, this is one of those things that happens, okay? I prepare a sermon, and I want to preach it to the best of my ability, but it applies to each and every one of us. Sunday morning group, Sunday night group, Wednesday night group, Easter group, Christmas group, I don't care which group. Now, I want us to understand something. That we're not talking about numbers. It's not the numbers to me that makes the church strong. It's the people, it's the workers in that church. It's the men and their dedication to that church. It's a sad state of affairs today, but a lot of congregations can't get elders. And it's not because they don't have men that are qualified. The problem is they don't have men with a backbone to step into that position to take a ruling part. Now, and I've seen this in several congregations that my kids have and are attending. So, you know, this is a problem today. Now, Joshua 24... Verse 15, if it seems evil to ye to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Now, I love that. You know what Joshua is saying? Yeah, this just hit me. He's saying is, I don't care if I have to serve alone, I will serve Jehovah and my family will serve Jehovah. There is a man with a backbone, folks. I will serve God and they will serve God. That's what the church needs today. The truth is, unfortunately, sometimes truth hurts. Paul asked the question one time, I made you the enemy, or have I made you my enemy because I speak the truth. The truth is, the majority of men in most congregations don't or are not involved in the work of the church like they need to be. Now, let's continue. Able men to serve in the house of the Lord. Untaught men. They see Goliath standing on one side of the auditorium and David on the other. Now, most men would say Goliath would be the better worker in the church. big, strong warrior since he was a youth. David was a little shepherd boy. But which one is it that God used? It sure wasn't Goliath. He was actually an enemy of God. It was David. What we need is those individuals like David. It wasn't his size. I mean, whenever they were choosing a king, Jesse and Samuel, they wasn't about to choose David. They had him out there taking care of sheep. Didn't even bring him in. Didn't waste their time. They brought in the other sons, thinking that they would be the ones. I mean, these guys were big. They stood head and shoulders taller than everybody else. One of these has got to be the next king of Israel. They would bring him in, march him in one by one, as we've talked about before. And God said, nope, you know, I'm not looking at these guys like you are. Is this the only son you have? Samuel asked. Nope, got one more. And he's probably thinking, but I know he's not the one. Yeah, who is it God chose? That little ruddy, tow-headed kid that was taking care of a bunch of sheep. God can use men. It's not the stature of a man that God uses. It's the man. It's his attitude. It's his personality, his character. The church needs men like Samuel. Men who would stand up to kings. Men who was not afraid of the consequences of those prophecies against the people that he would be making. Men like Nathan, another that would stand in the face of a king and condemn him for his sin. Men like Elijah, who would stand in the face of confrontation of over 800 false prophets of Baal. 800. And then in derision cry out to king, to their gods. You see, that's the kind of men that God can use. But I want to tell you something. Now, are you ready for this? Are you listening? These are just men. They're not bigger than we are. They're not stronger than we are. In fact, just because they were inspired did not take away one bit of the strength and the courage they had to confront the enemies of God. That's the kind of men that God can use. That's these able men that God can use. Men who are faithful. Faithful. Well, we got a problem in the church today. Understanding what it means to be faithful. You know, faithful to some people means going to church once, maybe twice a month. Is that what God calls faithful? Some people say being faithful is going to church every Sunday morning. Is that what God would call faithful? There are some that would say being faithful is going to church every time the doors are open. But is that faithful? Is that all there is to it? Is that all God expects? Is to sit on the bench? No. God's able men didn't just come in and sit on the bench. They went to work. That's the kind of men that God needs. Men like us. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. That a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Now notice the next verse. Of stewards, it is required that one be found faithful. God expects us to be faithful to the stewardship we have. In other words, we have all been made stewards, basically, of the grace of God. Now, are we doing a good job in our administering the grace of God? Are we faithful to that position? Have you ever thought about how much confidence God's placed in man? We talk about our faith in God, right? How men must have faith in God. Amen. But what I want to ask you tonight, have we ever thought about the faith that God has in us? Look at the faith that God had in His men in the Old Testament. I mean, men like Gideon. Gave them jobs that seemed insurmountable. I mean, impossible. And yet they accomplished these jobs by their faith. But God entrusted them to do it. Men like Moses. You see, God has a lot of faith in us. Look what He has given to us. Now think about this. God has entrusted us. He has made us stewards of the very gospel of Jesus Christ, His Son, that He gave as our sacrifice. The most precious thing in heaven, more than any gold or silver or land, and He entrusted that to us, men and women. With the confidence that we would take His plan serious enough to carry out that grace commission. Now you see, God has confidence in us too. He has faith in us, accomplishing His will. Now, faithful is what God has entrusted. Matthew 25 and 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Boy, how many of us want to hear that? You know, let me ask you, how many of us want to hear that? How are we going to hear on the judgment day that last part, "Enter into the joys of the Lord"? By being faithful to what He has called us to do. Now, we have abilities that God has given to us. Our abilities are different according to our personalities and talents. But these are truly gifts that God has given to us to use in His service in His kingdom. Are we using those gifts? What more do we do rather than sit on benches? You know, I've known a lot of athletes in my life. A lot of them. An athlete is never contented to sit on the bench. Never. A true athlete is never contented to just sit on the bench. They want to be out on the field. They want to be on the court. They want to be involved. They want to be in the action. And they want to be right in the middle of it, pouring out everything that they've got in their body to accomplish what they want to accomplish on the field. Now, folks, that's a pretty good illustration of what we are as Christians. Or should be. And, of course, faithful to death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, I will give you to a crown of life." Faithfulness doesn't come and go. And on some people, it's amazing, some people are faithful for a while, and then some people fall away. And then they come back. They fall away. They come back. Wishy-washy. We'll talk about that in just a second. Men who are stable living in a time when there is a lot of instability in our world, uncertainty. A lot of people are unstable people. What God needs is those men who stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch, I love this. Stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Don't you love it? Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be strong and brave. He's not talking about going to the gym and working out every day and bench pressing 400 pounds. He's talking about being strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, not in our muscle strength. Stand fast in the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the truth. Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil in the day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now notice the word stand is used three times in these two passages. Three times. Now one of them is withstand. Did you notice that? That you may be able, that is God's able man, able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, then he begins the very next verse, stand having your waist girded with the truth. The truth. That's what gives us stability. Look at James 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith with nothing doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, and he is unstable in all of his ways. He is the kind of fellow I like to call a loose cannon. He's a loose cannon. Imagine where this phrase come from was on the ships from long ago. And sometimes they would break away from the chain that held them to their portal. And you'd have a loaded cannon running loose on the deck, which causes a great deal of concern and havoc among the sailors. And them trying to take that cannon and load it back up into its portal and chain it back down to secure it. You see, that's kind of the way people are. They're like a loose cannon. Paul says that they are unstable in all their ways. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Folks, we need to grow up. Now, again, I'm using this kind of as a journalistic statement, not pinpointing anybody, but just generally as even a nation. Men need to grow up. Women need to grow up. Young people even need to grow up. They'll fall for anything. That's what Paul's warning. The cunning, the craftiness. There's a lot of that out in our world today. From the religious world, but not only the religious world, even in our nation, in the world of education. There is a lot of craftiness out there. We need to grow up and quit acting like a bunch of children. We need to understand the truth. And the only way we can do that is by standing fast in God's truth. I can't defend what I don't know. And sometimes I can't recognize error if I don't know the truth. That's a big part of the problem in our society today. As I should say, the church today. Hebrews 10 verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast to our promises without wavering. Men who make themselves available. Men who make themselves available. I love this one. This might be one of my favorite points of this whole entire lesson. You know, we're living in a time when it's hard to find people available. We're all so busy. Is anybody here not busy? I say, yeah, we're all busy. How busy are we? You know, busy is kind of a relative term, because sometimes, you see, I determine how busy I am. I make that call. And a lot of times, I can make that call whether or not I do something or not. And you know, it's kind of amazing. I will always find time to do the things I want to do. I'm so busy. My son called me about 3 weeks ago. He said, Dad, we're going out to the Parker Tank, going to go fishing there. This is Star, Texas. We're going out to the Parker Tank, go fishing. Me, Macy, and Jaden. You want to go? I said, I'm there. Somebody said, I need to build a fence. I said, listen, I would love to, but I am so busy. Oh, I'm busy. I can't do that. I can't build fence. I'm just too busy. I can go fishing. That's kind of the way it is. I make the call on that. And I want to go fishing. Especially want to be with my kids and grandkids. Hey, now, there we're talking. I'll make time for that. Things I don't want to do, I can get too busy. Now, that's just kind of the way it works sometimes, right? When we're talking about serving the Lord, we've got to free ourselves of the time that it takes to serve Him. There's going to come a time whenever we will maybe wish we had served Him more. I love Isaiah 6 and verse 8. Isaiah 6 verse 8. Who can I send? Who can I send to this troubled house of Israel? Isaiah speaks up. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Now, that's the kind of man we need. I've got this ugly, dirty, nasty job to do. You know that guy on Dirty Jobs? What was it, Mike Ryan? Is that that sucker's name? And this is the job he wouldn't even touch. And yet Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. You send me. I'll do it. Matthew 4:18 through 22 is a call of the brothers. Call of the brothers. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the sons of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. They called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed them. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus said two words, follow me. Two words. What did Peter and Andrew do? The Bible said, immediately. They didn't begin to make excuses. Well, Lord, I got this to do. I got that to do. Lord, I'm sure I'm busy right now. Wait till I finish this net. They laid it down and they followed Jesus. That's the kind of men God needs. James and John, man, they had more to give. They had a boat. They had nets. And they had their father in the boat with them in the nets. What happened? They left the father, the boat, and the nets and followed Jesus. That's the kind of men that God needs. In the Great Commission, going to all the world, we're told to go. In other words, He's saying, follow me. What is our response? Immediate or not? He makes sure that we are obedient to Him. Do we immediately obey Him or do we put Him off? Psalm 119, verse 60. I love this psalm. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Able men of faith, men who has great faith, faith that is born of trial, faith that is born out of necessity, out of works, not just city. Notice, and what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weaknesses they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Wow! These are men like you and me, just men. But they were servants of God. I love this part. Out of weakness they were made what? Strong. What made them strong? Faith. They were accomplishing God's will. What a task He had called them out to do. You don't think He didn't have faith in these guys? You don't think He didn't have some confidence in them? In setting them up in the positions that they were in? Some of them kings, prophets, leaders, judges. And He gave them impossible tasks. And yet they immediately conquered those tasks. These are the kinds of men and women that God needs. Men who follow God's pattern. Okay. You know, one of the things that we talk about in our meetings quite a bit, a lot of congregations that I have known who are where we are now, I mean, I hear a lot of people talking about, yeah, I remember when it was 160 people. I remember when this building was full. I don't. I've only been here 10 years. But when sometimes congregations get to where we are now, they get in what I call the panic mode. And they begin thinking, what can we do to bring people in? And you know what? One of the first things usually has to happen to bring people in to fill an auditorium? You got to weaken your stance in God's Word. Right? That's what a lot of congregations have done. They have weakened their positions. They have changed God's pattern. And there have been elders that have allowed it. There have been preachers that encouraged it. And members that just soaked it all up. Now, the result, the churches grow. But have they really? I quit growing about 18 years old. I think that's the last time I measured any growth in my body. But I'm still growing. But I'm growing in fat now. And the doctors tell me that's no good. When I was 18, I was growing in my height and stature and even my weight. That was good. It was okay. Not anymore. What a lot of people have done is they just added fat to their bodies. They've not added strength or muscle or work or commitment or service. They've added numbers. And as I said in the very beginning, it's not the numbers that's important in the Lord's work. It's remaining faithful. God bless congregations like this, even though we may be small in number. But we're faithful and stand for the truth. That's what God needs, the kind of men, the kind of women that God needs. Men who built the tabernacle like that. You know, these guys, Exodus 25 verse 9, according to all God told them, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, so just like that you shall make it. God said, I give you the pattern, that's where I want it built. Now look at Hebrews 8 verse 5. Who serve as a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. These fellows stayed with that pattern, just like Noah built the ark according to God's pattern. 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. Paul said to hold fast, hold this young preacher, hold fast, cling to the pattern of sound words. We live in a society that today that says there is no pattern in Scripture. That's baloney. I read through the inspiration of the Apostle Paul that there is a pattern of sound words. Romans 6 and verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were the slave of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that formed. The word formed there is the same word in 1 Timothy 1 verse 13 for pattern. You have obeyed from the heart that pattern of doctrine. We have a pattern to follow. God has given us a pattern. He's given us a pattern in, number one, in our worship assembly, but also in doctrine and how to become a Christian. But we got to be very careful because we have a lot of Nadab and Abihu who's running around here today, but they're still alive. These Nadab and Abihu's. You know who Nadab and Abihu is? Huh? You remember what they did? They changed the pattern. The Bible said they offered strange fire that God did not command. You know what happened to them? They were consumed by their own fire that they designed. Now, I don't know what the difference was in the fire they offered, except this. God didn't command it. There's going to be a lot of people in the judgment a little bit shocked and surprised when all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute, God said He wasn't happy with our change in the pattern. You mean we couldn't make those changes? The end result, they will be judged accordingly. We need men in the eldership, in the pulpit, in the pew, with enough backbone to stand strong for the truth and not waver. Not one iota. Because someday we will give account for it. We will be accountable for it. God wants men that are strong enough to lead His people. And folks, I'm not just talking about
elders and deacons now. I'm talking about, let me tell you. Okay, are you listening? Have I got your attention? The only leaders in this congregation is not your elders, not your deacons, not your preacher. They're all of us. They're all of us. So we need to lead like we're leading for the Lord. We need to serve like we're serving for the Lord. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you tonight to make that decision to become a child of God. If you are a Christian, if you need to revamp your Christianity, if you need to just perhaps rekindle that glow in your life of serving the Lord, if we can help you in any way, we pray that you come while we stand and sing together.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and a stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come?
This for you
thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Be seated, please.